Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Don't stress. Listen to the podcast at WTIC.com or on the free Odyssey app.
We've got this hour to talk, plus play rants. Plenty of time to get everybody's calls in. 860-522-9842. Kim calling from Cromwell. Hi, Kim.
Okay, point number one, the issue of protest and free speech. They are on private property, and the university can either disallow it or allow it, okay? The First Amendment basically penalizes the government for infringing on people. So here the university can treat it any which way. And I think once you go towards impeding people's passage to make a point, then it starts to overreach. Write a letter to the editor, get a permit to have a parade. That stuff is no problem. I think the problem why these people protest the Jewish people is the Jewish people are usually a well-to-do, often wealthy, tax-paying population. They are not involved in violence in society. They have contributed much to civilization. They don't play the pity party game. And I think what the Palestinians are trying to do is get that number one spot on the totem pole now. Mm-hmm. And today's kids certainly do not have the critical thinking from any college education to understand that Israel, number one, was attacked, okay, by terrorists. They have the right to defend themselves. And importantly, you know, modern countries don't aim their munitions at taking out citizens of a country in order to goad them, change your government, and then we'll stop. You go after the munitions, the artillery. That is the only way you can deter a threat. And because all these kids have their heads in the sand, they're busy partying, doing pot, anything taught in school goes out the other ear. So this is their self-righteousness thing.
Yeah, in other words, they're responding emotionally and with their kind of visceral response rather than a thoughtful one. Interesting, Kim. Thank you so much for that. 860-522-9842. More calls coming up.
Listen to the Todd Feinberg Show on the free Odyssey app. Download and like WTIC and follow Todd Feinberg today.
WTIC. Okay. Light them up. 860-522-9842. Protests and arrests today. The arrests were the result of police feeling that there was a certain group of students who weren't listening to what they were being told, and they arrested those students and left the others alone. That's what they say. Anybody there? Anybody witness any of this? Tom in Watertown. Hi, welcome to WTIC.
I thought I was working, so I was not there. couple of ironic points I find about this. I love the fact that these universities have spent the last how many years teaching kids that go out there and protest this, protest that. Usually it's against anything Republican or right-wing or things like that. Yeah, and even against the police in many cases. And then when things go bad and they run amok, let's call the police and bring the police in. It's just ironic.
It is ironic. And yeah. But that, you know, that's the nature of trying to manage life out in the public square. So they even used New Haven police to help secure the intersections and stuff, which means it's a cooperative exercise between the institutions.
With the university, correct.
Yeah.
The other thing I find ironic is that they're sitting here and they're protesting Yale University and they want them to get rid of the investments into military funding. Well, you ought to put a little tag at the bottom of your sign saying raise my tuition, too, because you know damn well they're not going to give up that money.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's
yeah. So you're going to tell the university give up that money. You don't think they're going to turn around and raise your tuition costs later on down the line?
Yes, it is part of the business model, which is really sure. What your point is. And where do they think the money comes from for big institutions to be able to spend tens of millions of dollars putting up buildings and such and to create a really cushy life? Where else does it come from but from
trees?
From big institutions. Thank you, Tom. Good to hear from you. 860-522-9842.
Yale students are raising their voices this morning in support of Palestine.
I ain't gonna study war no more.
They say they've been asking Yale for months to disclose their investments and divest from weapons manufacturing in the war between Israel and Palestine. Protesters say after no response, they decided to protest.
We're paying a lot of tuition to be here. We want to know where our money is going. We want to know where the investments are going as students. That seems like a pretty reasonable ask.
It started last week and went into the weekend with what they described as a peaceful protest on Beinecke Plaza.
That's NBC 10. What do you think? 860-522-9842. It is kind of exciting, though, isn't it? It's kind of exciting that there is conflict going on in our society, political conversation that people care deeply about. Whichever side of it you're on, there is something about a protest of a war activity that really gets everybody riled up. And isn't it good for us to be riled up? Isn't one of our problems that we spend a lot of time rooting for our side, but we're not actually focused on public policy? This is an argument over public policy. Should we be spending billions of dollars to support foreign countries? That's how I look at it. Should we be $32 trillion in debt? $32 trillion. You're talking about amounts of money that are unpayable in debt. And we keep passing spending of any kind without anybody saying, well, we should be taking this money from somewhere else. If we're going, at the very least, we shouldn't be expanding our deficit spending to send money to Ukraine or Israel or Gaza or anywhere, right? 860-522-9842. I don't get the fact that we have so little ire over the ridiculous destruction of our national well-being that our governments are engaged in. Rant line number 860-751-4698. More from NBC 10.
Some students camped out in tents and were awoken around 6:40 this morning, surrounded by campus police, demanding they leave immediately or be arrested. A Yale spokesperson said the people were violating Yale's policies on occupying outdoor spaces. About 47 students who did not comply, according to a Yale spokesperson, were arrested and issued notices to appear.
We were just on our own plaza, and students were arrested. It's just really shocking, considering that, you know, Yale touts that it really supports First Amendment rights and freedom of speech, and here we were just exercising our freedom of speech, peacefully protesting.
A Yale spokesperson added that they've been offering the protesters opportunities to meet with trustees.
Isn't that funny? They've offered them, talk about offering a big thing. They get to sit down with the trustees and argue their case? Yowza. What's going to happen? Where does this go? Where does it lead? Think about all these years of treating young people like they're highly breakable, easily damaged. You know, the whole you can't score the basketball game because somebody's feelings might get hurt if they're not winning. You've got that all the way up to the indulgence of going to a university that costs upwards of $80,000 a year to attend. 860-522-9842. It's quite remarkable, isn't it? And we don't have these kinds of stresses on our institutions and on our political decisions very often. And I suspect we're going to benefit from this if we can survive it. But what happens? Are we going down a path that might bring us in a direction that reminds us of the 1960s? What do you think? 860-522-9842. Let's talk to Bob in Torrington. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Todd. Hey, you know, I'm thinking about what these protesters are asking the college to do, and it seems to me that it's purely symbolic because it has no effect whatsoever on the people, on the military contractors, because the way the stock market works is there's a seller and there's a buyer. The college cannot sell a stock without someone else buying it, so it has no effect whatsoever on the contractor.
You're saying the company that the money that the university is investing in isn't going to be affected because somebody else will just step in and buy the stock?
Yeah, they can't sell it unless someone buys it.
Correct. But what this might do, I guess, would be their hope. You know, they're trying to replicate 30, 40 years ago, whenever it was, there were the South African divestments going on. There was a movement to block people from buying stock in South. What's that?
That's pretty much the only way it can be effective, if it's a large number of people are doing it at the same time. Then it'll change the price of the stock.
Right. So this would be their hope, I would assume, that they would make the military contractors pariahs as investments, and that people would start moving their money into funds that didn't go into military contracts. But that would be ridiculous, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and you know, when it gets down to it, I don't see the kind of support for this protest anyway, because most of the people you talk to still think that we should support Israel more than we support Hamas.
Yes, I think that's what most people think. Absolutely. As well they should. We've got a long friendship and a long investment of our money in the security of Israel. Why would we suddenly abandon that because Israel got attacked and is responding to that attack? If we want a change in policy, we should protest what the Biden administration is doing policy-wise.
Right, and the attack against Israel was extremely vicious, and their response has been vicious also, but you got to understand that they live in a place where they're surrounded by people that don't think they should even exist.
Israel, yes. And still there is a disparity in the treatment of Palestinians that people want to see dealt with. So you've got powerful U.S., powerful Israel that are destroying this piece of land where a couple million people used to live. And it's hard to imagine how much longer they can go with this. Do you wonder about that? Like, what is the end point for Israel in terms of these attacks?
Yeah, you do wonder, when is it going to be enough?
So
who knows? I mean, inside their head. But.
Yes, but that would, if the protesters were saying, enough is enough, let's stop with the war, that might be a message you could connect with.
Right. And it's always horrible to think about the people that have been killed and are suffering from their homes being destroyed, who really are not combatants in this war. But on the other side of that, that happens in every war. It's a natural consequence of war. It's that's why war is so horrible.
Well, it's a natural consequence, I think, when there is a connection between the government and the people, which I think is lacking in Gaza. I feel like the people in Gaza are the victims of their own government here.
If Hamas is controlling the area, then I totally agree with that, because that's not a government of the people. That's somebody that's got an agenda, and they're pushing it regardless of what the people want.
Exactly. Thank you for that, Bob. Good to talk with you. 860-522-9842. So this is actually a fascinating issue for us as U.S. citizens. How much war do we want to risk? How much escalation do we want to risk us being sucked into in Ukraine and in this conflict between Israel and Gaza? And how do we extricate ourselves from it? We don't have the luxury anymore financially to just be squandering money and giving it to whomever we want to give it to. And we don't have the goodwill of people around the world. And boy, oh boy, things could really go bad really quickly if somebody oversteps a boundary and things start spinning out of control, which thank goodness it hasn't happened yet in the Middle East. But you've got the Iranians who just had direct conflict with Israel. That seems to be calming down, thankfully. But still, it's a new era there. And you've got the actors who are acting on behalf of the Iranians. And you've got Israel acting on our behalf. And we have to accept some responsibility for that, too, because we finance them. And to some degree, they do what we want done. They are our agent in the region. So at some point, we have to say to our government, what exactly do you have in mind? And why do we keep sending all this money if they won't, if people we spend the money on don't follow policies that are advantageous to us? These are some of the issues I'm thinking about, because I feel like this thing in Israel has been that Israel has overreacted to it, and in a way that is not in Israel's best interest, because Israel has a president who wants to use it to further his career, to survive politically. That's what I think people in the region think. That's what I see going on. So I'm pro-Israel, and I agree with their right to defend themselves. But I don't understand where this is going and why we should support it indefinitely. 860-522-9842. Okay, so we've got rants to play, which we will start mixing in during the next half hour with our phone calls. And we will break for news before that and get updated on what's going on in the world. We'll get our traffic and weather. We're talking about what's going on in the Middle East through our universities, our colleges and universities in the region, across the country, at Yale, at UMass, at the University of Michigan, at where else? MIT, Harvard, Columbia. Are we heading for another 1960s style meltdown? That's how it looks right now. At least it looks like that could be happening. And that's not too nice to think about. And we don't need, in this moment of our weakness and utter mismanagement by our government, we don't really need danger of international conflicts, do we? 860-522-9842. Let's check in with Mark Christopher, find out how the ride home is going.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
He's in the BPS Lawyers Traffic.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Don't stress. Listen to the podcast at WTIC.com or on the free Odyssey app.
WTIC. Thank you for being with us. 860-522-9842. We've got Rob in Simsbury first. Hi, Rob.
How you doing, Todd?
What's on your mind, sir? Thank you so much for taking the plunge.
Hey, why not? Just quickly, I was in Berkeley in the late 60s, early 70s, and it was a very, very interesting time. I would say the question really is, for me, more about the reaction of the officials, police, and the interaction with the people. Remember, it's called civil disobedience, but it is disobedience, and you have to that has to be managed in a way that allows both sides to exercise their free speech and make their point. And if the reaction is too strong, then it makes news, and we talk about it. And so it needs to be strong enough to make that kind of impact. On the other hand, the police have to react in an appropriate way.
Yes.
And one last thing is that lots of times, certainly back in those days, there's a lot of outside agitators that came in to make it worse than it was that weren't students at all. So,
yeah, in other words, they kidnapped the protest.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But, you know, they've also, I think the administration's kind of behind the eight ball because they have been wimpy in terms of their stances on stuff. You know, they've allowed the apparent abuse of Jewish students, for example, on campus. And
well, exactly. So the violence can make it provocative on both sides, for sure.
Yes.
So
we will see. Do you see? Do you have a feeling bad stuff is coming down the pike, or do you see this as isolated?
This is very tame to where we were, you know, in '69 and '70. But it needs to be managed. There needs to be an outlet for the dialogue, which I really encourage. I really appreciate your stance on a lot of this, and it makes news, and so it will encourage more action on the protesters' side, but it needs, if it's managed and they have a voice, it shouldn't escalate. Let's put it that way.
All right. Thank you for that, Rob. Good to hear from you. Call again. And Tom, hang on. We'll go to you when we continue. 860-522-9842. Mark Christopher, BPS Lawyers Traffic Center. How are we doing on the roads, Mark?
It's Todd Feinberg. It's Todd Feinberg. Monday through Friday, 3 till 6 on WTIC. News Talk 1080.
WTIC, Monday afternoon. Will it be a week of protests? Will the protests grow? Will the arrests backfire? Let's talk to Tom in Hebron. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Tom. Todd, great show. Could you tell me, is there anything in the Bible that talks about if the land of Israel belongs to the Jewish people?
There might be a mention of that or two.
Is it possible? I have heard people say that it would be better for the Palestinians to move to Saudi Arabia.
Well, I don't know that anybody's going to move, and I don't know that the Saudis would want them or any other Arab countries would want them. The you know, this is a decision that was made back after World War II, and that's a lot of years that have gone by where Israel has been turning what was a pretty dead piece of land into a vibrant modern country. So I don't think they're interested in leaving. I don't think the Palestinians are.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for the call. It's good to hear from you.
Yep.
This is what makes it all so challenging, Tom, is these historical issues and all of the history that is ingrained in people's hearts and souls. Steve in Tarrington next. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how you doing?
What do you think, sir?
Couple things. Ukraine, they elected not to be in the UN for 40 years now. All of a sudden, they're getting in trouble, and they want our help.
Well, we wanted to give the help, too. You know, Joe Biden's been very excited about us being involved and giving the help.
Yeah, well, they haven't, you know. They didn't want to step up back then, so why are we stepping up now?
Well, that's a perspective. Thank you, sir, for sharing it. 860-522-9842. Steven, Windsor Locks. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how you doing?
How are you doing?
Oh, not too bad. But I really don't understand the whole thing. And I know, Pastor Will had a guy on early in the morning, and he says how they do the, today's the first day of Passover.
Yes.
And it's like, so what's it's like Christians have Easter, or they have Passover. Or, I mean, why is everyone got to fight? You know, it's like, hey, do your thing, we do ours. You know what I mean? It's like have your belief. And then what they actually came down to was the parting of the Red Sea and Moses with the Ten Commandments. Christians and Jews actually believe in the same thing. And I don't know what these other people believe in, you know?
Well, I think we've got to treat everybody like they believe in peace until they prove themselves unwilling to match that description, and then we have to do something about it. And the question is, what do you do and how do you deal with it? And there isn't much appetite for war, and we don't have a lot of money to spend on going around the world fighting wars anymore, because we did really bad reasons, I think.
I think there's a lot of countries that don't have a lot of money, not just us. It's all of them, even Russia. Russia went, the reason why Russia went in Ukraine, I believe, they didn't want to get cut off by the sea because then they can't sell their goods.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Ukraine is going, you know, with us, with the United Nations or whatever, they felt vulnerable. So, and they said, right, Ukraine actually was part of Russia at a moment in time. And that's what, the Russian government, the guy there, he says, but they don't want to be cut off. Putin. Yeah, because if they get cut off, they have tons of resources in that country. They have nickel, they have oil, they have things they can do, and it's like, but it's not really nice to live. It ain't Florida. And I think, no, it's not. It's
no.
Like, yeah, you ever see some of the women there at the beach?
All right, go easy now, Steve. Come on, okay. Man. Thank you for the call, though. It's good to hear from you. Dave in Plainville. Hi, Dave.
What's your definition of peace?
Well, whatever anybody's definition is, I guess. What's your definition?
I asked you a question. What's your definition of peace?
Yeah, and it's something you would have to collaborate on.
I mean, are you at peace at home with your wife and grandchildren or kids or whatever? You're at peace, right?
Yes.
Okay, so that's peace.
Okay.
Russia doesn't understand peace. Russia wants to poke the finger at everybody. And Ukraine just said, well, you know what, Russia? We're tired of you. So we're going to fight back, which was a mistake in my mind because they're not going to win the war.
You're not optimistic, huh?
They may win battles. Look at the country. The buildings are destroyed.
Yeah.
The place is falling apart.
It's been terrible for Ukraine.
It's horrible.
And it's terrible for us because we're sending them another, what are we sending, $60 billion?
Well, you know, we just print the money. No, it's 95, I think it is.
Combined with Israel, 26 for Israel.
Yeah, with all the, what do they call it, quirks.
Yes, all the little extras, expenses.
Extras, you know, by the way, we're exactly. Sending this to this guy, and, you know. Yeah, we'll send this to that guy, and, you know, on top of that, we'll give Israel a couple million extra, okay? Thank you very much.
There you go, Dave. All right, thank you for the call, sir. Got to get some rants played. Appreciate the conversation. 860-522-9842. Rant line number 860-751-4698.
Hey, Todd, thanks for taking my rant, and here's one I heard nobody say yet. By the way, this is Jeff from Marlboro. Adulting. I didn't know that all of a sudden becoming an adult was, you know, some sort of chore or a verb or whatever it is. The word adulting. I want to hear people's reactions to that. Thank you very much.
I never heard adulting before. Adulting. The practice of behaving. This is funny. The practice of behaving in a way characteristic of a responsible adult, especially the accomplishment of mundane but necessary tasks. It feels really good to take a step back from adulting and have someone else cook dinner for me. I suspect that this word is actually has its origins in young people feeling that they don't really own adulthood and they have to kind of play act it. Adulting. That's great.
Hello, Todd. John here. 421-24. Billions to Taiwan. Billions to Ukraine. Billions to Israel.
Exactly.
I hereby demand to know where these monies are coming from.
Exactly.
This is not right. Our veterans are suffering. Our homeless are suffering. Yes, I want to help other countries, but billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars, the Congress doesn't tell us where the funds are coming from. Thanks a lot.
And that's something we should demand. There should be no spending of new monies in this country without some kind of formula that brings down the deficit spending. We're spending over $2 trillion beyond what we have coming in revenue this year in tax dollars. And so they take out loans, they sell bonds, and they have to pay those bonds back with interest eventually. So they're effectively taking out loans. And we're going to be paying the interest, which soon is supposed to be reaching $1 trillion a year. Which is, you know, 15 to 20% of our annual tax dollars. That's the point. John's got it right there. We don't have this money, and we're adding it to the deficit this year and to the debt, which is already $33-34 trillion.
Hey, Todd, this is Valerie Ann from Unionville. Did you see that Congress had passed a huge foreign aid bill?
Mm.
The thing is that there was nothing in it for us, the average American citizen, but yet they could manage to send all of our tax money over to places like Ukraine and over to the Middle East. I guess some Congress had forgotten who they worked for, and it's time for us to clean house and throw the bums out. Thank you.
There you go. Agreed. Time to clean house and throw the bums out. That's how I feel about it. All right, let's see who's on line two. Line two, hi, who's this? You're on the air.
Hey, this is Fran from Newington.
Fran, what's going on?
This ain't really a rant. This is a situation I've been following.
Okay.
So, you know, they're after Trump, and they're going to go after him for the hush money because...
You're talking about the trial in New York that's going on right now.
Right.
Okay.
So, if Stormy Daniels had threatened to go public with her affair with him to ruin him, technically that's extortion. And she accepted the money... is taking a bribe. So if they're going after Trump, why isn't she being prosecuted for two very
because they're not felonies? They're not going after Trump as I understand it for having paid her the money. They're going after Trump for not declaring the money as a campaign donation because there are campaign finance laws that require that any spending on behalf of the campaign come out of the campaign account and be paid for with donations. But Trump didn't want it to be in the news is the allegation. So they did some funky accounting via Michael Cohen, who's the, you know, the bag man who went to jail. He brought the money and paid it to Stormy Daniels. They made an offer to Stormy Daniels, who had already made a deal with the guy from the National Enquirer. And Michael Cohen reached out to her and said, let us make a deal with you. We'll pay you more than them. And so it really doesn't have anything to do with what Stormy Daniels did or whether she was leveraging Trump, because supposedly she wasn't. She had just been offered money by the National Enquirer, which was a buddy of Trump's, and they did this allegedly on a regular basis.
The way I looked at it is that she took a bribe to shut her mouth.
Yes.
And everything. So, I mean, and technically it is, because they gave her money to shut up, and she did. She took it. So technically, I mean,
but you know, way, you but know, but
person, I look at it as a bribe.
Powerful men do this all the time, where they enter into agreements with people. They sign contracts with people in exchange for their silence. They pay them money.
Yeah.
And those are legal contracts. There's nothing wrong with doing that, as long as. Yes, sir. What?
I was going to say, the one thing that they do, they forget, is there have been a lot of people over the years that have committed crimes and never done anything happen. Hell, look at Ted Kennedy with Chappaquiddick.
Well, that is true. They're going to charge him soon, though, I think. Thank you, Fran. 860-522-9842.
Hi, Todd. I got a question for you. It's a pretty simple one. Maybe you can answer it. Excuse me. There's an advertisement on WTIC for Ben's erectile dysfunction.
Oh, I don't even like hearing those words. I don't want to say.
Hi, listening to the radio and hearing a lot about geese on a green in Bristol, I believe. And one woman was opposing the elimination of the geese. I suggest that she take on the job of cleaning up after them every day so people can enjoy the green again. Thanks for the opportunity to ring.
Yeah, you know, I don't think the geese are precious, do you?
Hey, Todd, it's the proud American patriot. Today's rant is about, we got some breaking news in the historic Trump trial, the first president in U.S. history to ever go on trial. Apparently, we have a Trump supporter, or someone has lit themselves on fire outside the courthouse. Isn't this great? I got the popcorn out. We got burning Trump supporters on fire. This is just great. God bless America. Lock him up. Lock him up.
They're out there, all different kinds of people with different opinions and different reactions. And that one is really out there, isn't it? The Great American Patriot, 860-751-4698. If you want to call in a rant, you know how to do it. You know where to do it. Just dial that phone, 751-4698, and any time of day you can lay down a track for us, and we'll play it during the 5 o'clock hour. All righty. Let's wish Mark Christopher a good evening in the BPS Lawyers Traffic Center. Thank you, sir, for your service.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.